And good morning. Welcome to another program of Health Essentials. What do you think the word health means? Being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want, with your grandkids, your children, your husband, your wife, your brothers, your sisters. You ever watch children playing in the yard? Now that's health right there, when they're sick. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, I'd like to speak with Dr. Morgan, please.
Oh, yeah, you're speaking to him. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, hey, I caught you off guard there.
Yeah, really. I just started seeing a lady who has lupus, and I did a little research on it the last couple of nights, and she had her thyroid removed about 20 years ago. She's currently having issues with maintaining her thyroid levels. She'll go in 1 week, they'll say they're too high, and a week later, after giving her whatever it is that she said, they're too low, and they just keep readjusting it back and forth. And she's having frequent headaches. And I know this is a chronic disease and what have you, but I just wonder what I'm Mike could suggest to her that would kind of ease things a little bit.
You know where they get the word thyroid from in the Greek? It literally is translated, it means the shield. It's one of the reasons that one of the prescription medicines for a thyroid is called armor thyroid.
Huh.
How would you like to go into battle against the Philistines without a shield?
Right.
Probably don't want to.
Unless David's up front.
You mean with five smooth stones he picked up from a brook?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. To me, that's just phenomenal. Okay, Goliath had four brothers, and he just used... Anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked here.
I hear you.
Let's go back to the thyroid. I think one of the unknown... Well, it's known to us, and you're going to have an easy time believing this, but... Your thyroid, it does a tremendous job at trying to protect you from toxins and from harsh things in the environment.
Right.
And so thus, you know, it's a shield for us. It's a filter. It does a great job of keeping a woman in good working order. But you did say she had lupus, and you said also she's having headaches and they can't get the thyroid regulated. So let me give you just a little bit different take on this.
Okay.
Let's go backwards for just a second. Lupus is definitely an autoimmune disease of what I would call connective tissues. I know, just like you do and everybody else listening, there's varying degrees of it. I've seen people that were wheelchair-bound, and they had a hard time just even communicating. They were in such dire straits or in poor condition.
Right.
But there's going to be other people that can function relatively well. And now, over the last 27 years, I have seen a... number of women, and I think maybe one man, just one in 27 years that had lupus, but they're almost always women.
Right,
but
that's what I read.
But I've seen so many that they either took an antibiotic or they took a drug, and it literally was such a toxic reaction within their body that they developed lupus as a consequence. But once the drug was out of their system, the lupus just mysteriously disappeared and went away. So we know for a fact that certain drugs can easily... cause lupus or induce lupus, and once the drug is gone. So I would say, to a large degree, one of the things that I always want to cover when it comes to lupus is there some toxin within their body that's triggering this negative autoimmune reaction? So I think with every autoimmune disease there is, you're always going to find some type of a toxic trigger. I really am curious about sugar and wheat when it comes to lupus. And so, just an idea, but what if wheat and sugar were removed from this woman's body? What if we saw a change in the function of her thyroid? I know her thyroid's gone, but what if all of a sudden her thyroid could be in balance? Does that make sense?
It does, but what in the body kicks in and takes the place of the function of the thyroid when it's removed?
Well, nothing does. If it's been removed, she's going to have to be on some type of hormone replacement therapy probably the rest of her life. If I suggested that, I didn't mean that.
No, but that's just how I
Well, no, but I can tell you I like your thinking, though. And the way that I want to answer you is, if the thyroid is gone, this is all the more important that we've got to have a very good functioning adrenal gland. Right. And these are two relatively small glands that sit atop of the kidneys. But let's put it this way. In the real world, if you and I are just walking around, going to the store today, you know, changing oil in your wife's car, whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's going to be the adrenal glands that allow us to function at a high level.
Right.
And so the adrenal glands in her, they probably need a little bit of bolstering or a little bit of improvement, and that's probably what I would focus on. So number one, I would want to determine, does she have any type of a food allergy? Number two, and this is probably maybe even easier to understand, is the gut health is just so extremely important when it comes to lupus,
right.
and when it comes to thyroid issues. So if I can make the gut happy, excuse me, that's what I'm after. And so
right.
with chronic diseases, I can tell you what the hallmark is. They just always have high levels of toxic disease-causing microbes living in their gut. That's one of the reasons why that Rosetta study that I may have mentioned on the radio a couple weeks back, they examined people in Rosetta, Pennsylvania, and they're trying to figure out, why are these people so much healthier than the average person? They finally figured it out because They're consuming coffee every day that comes from Italy. They like chocolate. They drink red wine. They eat cheese, especially aged cheese like Gouda cheese, blue cheese, a lot of feta cheese, which some people don't like that since it's made from goat milk. But I do.
I do, too.
And they're eating fatty roast leg of lamb and, you know, steaks and things that are, or roasts that are high in fat content.
Right.
But they don't have the diseases that the rest of us have, and they found out they are consuming, on average, about 2.5 times the amount of what are called polyphenols or phenol compounds. These are nutrient-like substances found in these foods that they're eating.
Right.
And so they have large quantities of good beneficial bacteria, and they're called the bacteroidetes family. And the firmicutes, these are the bacteria that cause all the problems. So when somebody has lupus, they always have higher concentrations of what are called firmicutes. If you allow them to grow, I can tell you how to get them to grow. Eat Doritos for breakfast, donuts,
right.
Coca-Cola, junk food. You're going to feed the toxic bacteria. So if we can
right.
change this, then you can completely reverse the lupus. You can make it disappear and go away.
Gotcha.
So in a nutshell, what if a laboratory, one of the labs that I use, they're called Diagnostics. They're just easy to get along with. That's one of their... You know what, I've used a lot of labs over the years. They're just difficult. They don't make it easy for you. Their customer service is horrible. Boy, I just really appreciate anybody that can make it easy, and they're one of the easier ones. But, for example, sometimes they'll do like a comprehensive parasitology study for me. And I won't go into a huge amount of details, but I'll just say this. As a side note... If there is a child that just misbehaves all the time and is very difficult to get along with, and they're obstinate, and they don't want to behave, and they talk back, and they have just lots of mood swings, I'm telling you right now, buddy, that child probably has parasites. Could be something as simple as pinworms. It could be something else. It could be toxic parasites living inside of their gut. But I'm telling you, the moment you treat them for parasites, they become the most sweet, adorable angel. You can't wait to be around that child, as opposed
wow.
to, like, you turn to your wife and say, who is this kid? Is this our kid?
Right.
And you're going, I know, it's crazy. But I've seen that over and over again because parasites, they eat a neurotransmitter called GABA that we need to be calm and relaxed and chilled out. So there's just so many connections with this. But that laboratory, I think for like 100 and maybe it's 20 bucks, maybe it's 119 bucks. I mean, they'll do a full parasitology profile. But it would be interesting because I've seen a person's fortunes turn on a dime if we can get rid of the bad germs living inside them and replace them with the good germs. Just as simple as that.
Sure.
And so with lupus, you have chronic inflammation, you have gut issues, so I'm trying to correct all those things.
Yeah.
Strengthening the adrenal glands, I don't think it has to be that hard or difficult to do. And a lot of times, I'll just use adrenal protomorphogen compounds. Protomorphogens have been around since the beginning of time. We just haven't realized what they were and how we were consuming them. But I can tell you, they usually come from animal parts. I know a lot of people, philosophically, they're into the vegetarian lifestyle. They find it very offensive that we would ever eat meat.
Well,
or
that's
eat
their
fish.
Problem.
Well, I know, but they wanted to. They want to put that off on us and make us bet. Anyway, I agree with you. So I'm not going to argue over that, but I'm telling you, protomorphogen compounds, that's one of the greatest inventions of all time, or I should say discoveries. That's more
right,
precise.
Right.
Because God created these things, not man.
Of course.
Anyway, but to have men discover that if you give women that have lupus protomorphogen compounds, it turns off their autoimmune reactions. Now, that's brilliant, but it's going to be too cheap. So drug companies are never...
Sure.
Drug companies... You know, I talked to a woman on the phone yesterday, and I'm almost positive she's listening right now. She's just very adorable. Even though sometimes she just doesn't feel good or have energy, she smiles nonstop and laughs at almost everything, which I think is just a superior character quality. But these protomorphogen compounds, what they do is they turn off autoimmune reactions where your body is going to attack itself. So in the case of lupus, her body can actually be producing antibodies against her own kidneys or against, even the adrenal glands or even the thyroid, which is probably what happened. See, I wouldn't have any difficulty thinking that her thyroid problem started as an autoimmune reaction. Now, whether a doctor says it or not, I don't lose sleep over that. But you're trying to turn that off. Thus, you're using thyroid protomorphogens. But in her case, you know what I think would probably give her the biggest bang for the buck?
What's that?
There is a gland that is found just underneath or south of her thyroid called the thymus gland.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And the thymus gland is responsible for producing what are called T suppressor cells or T helper cells. And those are the very specific types of cells within the immune system, or their white blood cells. And what they do is they tell the body to stop attacking itself.
Right.
So they've always been shown to be lacking when somebody has an autoimmune disease such as lupus or Hashimoto's or just fill-in-the-blank rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
And so my mindset is, what can we do to bolster the thymus gland? Because the thymus is usually the one gland in the body, or it's actually the largest gland in the immune system.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir, it is. Uh-huh. But it is the easiest gland. Actually, let me start over. If there is stress in a human being's life, which, who's not going to have some stress, right?
I don't.
Well, nobody does. But stress is going to probably adversely affect the thymus gland first and foremost, more so than any other gland. So always think the thymus gets the biggest hit. And if the thymus begins to atrophy and shrink, old-time doctors used to call this involution. It just means it, you know, shrivels up and, you know, dies and goes away.
Right.
The thymus gets the biggest hit when it comes to stress. And so if a person wants to have, sometimes it's called life energy or life force. Those are just textbook names for man. But, you know, God breathes into us the breath of life.
Right.
If you don't believe me, go back and read the account of the Great Flood. And it says very specifically, the life and the breath of God, which was when all animals or all living things was gone once the flood came. Interesting to me. But when a person wants to have healing energy and vitality, it is really hard not to go after the thymus gland as a way of trying to improve that. That's one of the reasons why, in a recent study, they showed there's artificial. There's an artificial sweetener called Splenda, or sometimes is known as sucralose.
Right.
There are not many things on God's green earth that can destroy the thymus gland like sucralose can. Just total toxic. Anyway, so if we were trying to help this sweet, adorable lady, Oh, well, you wouldn't be calling about her if she wasn't.
Exactly.
Boy, isn't she great to have somebody like you in her life that's concerned about her well.
Yes.
But she, and the thing of it is, she would love to improve herself. And so, let me make it more simple. Number one, if she has some type of a food allergy or a food intolerance, we need to identify what that is and just remove that. But then again, I'm telling you the truth, refined sugar, there's nothing that rips the thymus gland to shreds like sugar does. Nothing.
She's addicted to Dr. Pepper.
Well, and the only way to really do this is by introducing real foods into the person's life. And so I have not been successful at getting people off Dr. Pepper if they're eating junk food all day long. It's really hard to do. But if you can make better food choices, and for me, any time that you try to take a person off sugar, no matter what source it is, you could tell me it's a Aunt Jemima pancake syrup that a person's addicted to. I'm not trying to pick on Aunt Jemima, but any time that you're trying to reduce sugar intake, you've got to replace it with fat. If you don't increase fat intake, that's where things like olives and some people, they tolerate nuts very well. That's a good source of fat.
Me too.
Olive. You ever heard of olive oil?
I drink about a half ounce every morning with my coffee.
Well, I think that's smart. The last time that we went to Dallas, I had to run a child to the DFW airport to catch a flight.
Right.
Which you realize it's still dad's responsibility to do all that, even though they're an adult child. Anyway, going. But to make a long story short, we went. My wife had to go to this store in the mall called Anthropology, which, don't ask me what it's all about. I just know she likes to go there occasionally.
Right.
So when we stopped there, it had been all day, and no one had eaten food. We were probably famished and starving, but we went to an Italian restaurant, and they said, "What kind of salad would you like?" And I said, "Well, what are my choices?" And they said, "Well, you have the house salad, you have the Caesar salad, and you have the chopped salad." I said, "What's a chopped salad?" And he said, "Well, it contains, blue cheese crumbled up in it." And I'm going, "I'm sold." But it also had avocados. Wouldn't that be a source of fat also?
It sounds delicious already.
And I think, what do they use for salad dressing? Oh, that's right. They use vinegar and olive oil. And I said, sold!
Yeah.
And I tell you, after eating that chopped salad, I thought to myself, that was a complete meal.
Right.
Of course, I was kind of a radical. I ordered some braised beef tips to go along with that with vegetables. And I thought, And I'm telling you, it was fabulous, buddy. Maybe because I was hungry. But, you just feel good. So if you can transition away from sugar by increasing the fat content.
Right.
It takes, and I know this sounds a little bit ridiculous because it takes longer than what most people have the attention span for, but it takes almost 2 weeks to make the transition.
Sure.
And so let me give you something else that I want to try to correct here. If we can get her to eat olives, which is a fermented, you know what pickles are? They're just, fermented.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So between kombucha, which is just fermented tea and sometimes fruit juice, to red wine, to kimchi or sauerkraut, which is fermented cabbage. You have olives, you have pickles, and that's where cheese comes in. All these things have in common, they are fermentation byproducts, which means they tend to, because they have such a high concentration of polyphenols, they greatly encourage beneficial bacteria to grow. Now, I realize when I'm saying this, I think I'm cutting-edge scientific, just trying to oversimplify it where everybody can be on board and understand it.
Right.
But if we keep going down this road of just treating symptoms and diseases, see, I already know what they're going to put her on. They're going to put her on drugs like prednisone and cortisone.
Exactly.
And if there was a drug known to man that increases craving for Dr. Peppers, it'd be prednisone or cortisone.
Right, right.
But what you want is, if you took a tape measure and you measured around the largest part of her waist, usually it's like an inch or so or two under the belly button on a woman, and then you measured around her hips, it's called the waist-to-hip ratio. Anytime that ratio is 0.8 or above in women, that literally means that they're over-consuming carbohydrates.
Huh.
And so what would happen is a lot of the inflammation in her body would just mysteriously leave her if that waist-to-hip ratio was below 0.8.
Wow.
And so if it can identify what her food allergy is, I would just suggest right now wheat and sugar. If I'm wrong about that, I'm wrong.
Right.
No harm done. But if I can talk her into increasing the amount of fat in her diet, and then we can start some form of exercise. Now, if I say the word yoga, I'm not trying to be a weirdo and say become one with the universe and transcendental meditation.
Right, right.
I was talking to Charlie yesterday, and he was talking about a form of if I butcher it, forgive me. Aikido, it's just a martial art, but it's one of those more cerebral ones where you become one with the universe. But anyway, I just don't even see it that way. I think, for example, if you want to do yoga, it's just very simple. Physics. you bend your body in a certain position to stretch, and that's all right. It is. I don't think you're becoming one with the universe.
Yeah, it's mostly stretching, and who doesn't need that?
Everybody does. And so the more physically fit that she becomes, you'll see everything turn on a dime. And the more real foods that she eats and the less fake foods that she puts in her body, like Dr. Pepper, you'll see her fortune change. And the goal is to getting her lupus to become, what do you call it, when something goes into remission.
Right.
I don't think you can ever totally take away a person's autoimmune disease, but you can make it so quiet they don't even know they have it.
Sure.
But that's going to be the byproduct. You know, everybody tells me the same thing. Just like last week, I read the story of John Pepper that had Parkinson's when he was in his early 30s, and there was no benefit from the medicines he took until he started walking 5 miles three times a week. I know that's a lot of walking. But as long as he did that, his Parkinson's was completely in remission. It didn't make the Parkinson's completely disappear.
Right.
He still had Parkinson's, but he had no symptoms. And he could function at a high level.
Almost like the disease atrophied.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. It disappeared. It went away. It was no longer existent. Whereas everybody else that has Parkinson's just spirals downward out of control, and they get worse and worse.
Right.
And so with the lupus, you're trying to get the body to be, you want the immune system so quiet. So part of that is trying to heal the thymus gland. And sometimes protomorphogens, thymus extracts, avoiding things that are toxic. But this is probably a lot easier than what I'm making it. I'm just trying to give you a foundation so you can kind of follow along, like, how do we fix this lady where she's in great working order and she has tremendous vitality?
Right.
So those are some of the things. But adrenal support, it's just, I don't know how we're going to do this without adrenal support. And I'm just kind of cutting to the chase.
I tell you what, I'm going to make an appointment to bring her to you, because I've got 100 questions for you. Just during this conversation, and
I don't want to take up the radio time. But you know how those questions are going
to
be answered? Number one, if we find out where her weakness is, then we can just focus on that.
Right.
Because if we can identify what's going to give her the biggest bang for the buck, then we can say this is what to do. Some of the other questions may actually end up being irrelevant if she gets well. So.
Well, I have a totally separate question, and I know it'll be real quick for you to answer. Is there any nutritional difference between a hard-boiled versus a soft-boiled egg?
Yeah, you're going to have a little bit better, you're going to have a little bit better protein and fat content, nutrition to it. There'll be more vitamins available.
On which?
Well, on the soft-boiled.
Okay.
Or an egg over easy.
Right. Okay.
I mean, technically, if the egg is black like a hockey puck because it's been burned, there's not going to be a whole lot of value.
True.
But, yeah, I think you actually get more nutritional value, like if you had an egg over easy where the yolk is a bit liquidy. Yeah.
Right.
Good.
All right, Dr. Morgan, I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. Enjoyed it. Have a good day.
You bet. Bye-bye.
We ran into Bob yesterday. My daughter, Molly Ann, and I did, and I don't know that she remembered Bob, but I said, Molly, Bob was in the Army. I think he was in the Korean War. But, you know, that's kind of what you think about when it comes to Memorial Day. I realize if we are safe, it's because of the good Lord's favor upon us. But I think the good Lord has given us good men and women. I don't know about you, but I'm probably not too excited about being invaded by another country and becoming a slave or, anyway, captives. If you'd like to join me on the radio today, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Maybe you have a question or a comment. Don't you agree with me, though, that your body gives you clues about what's not working right through symptoms? It would be very good if you listened to your body, because your body's trying to warn you, save you, alert you at oncoming danger. And you should listen to that, shouldn't you? Okay. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. All right, since no one's calling. Okay, there's someone calling. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have two questions to ask you, please. The first one is, what are skin-colored bumps on the arms and legs, and what can be done to get rid of them.
Well, where are the bumps?
They're on my daughter's, primarily her her upper arm.
But is it the tricep, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then primarily on her thighs.
Yeah, on the top of the thighs, like over the quadriceps, right?
Right. And I don't know what they are. And she said she's had them for years. She's 22.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if there's something.
I can tell you what I find that makes them disappear.
Okay.
All right. Now, I know I'm going to be a little bit long here, but I'll try to make it short. Maybe I can make it short. there is an organ in the body called the liver. And maybe I want to say that the liver is one of the greatest filters of all time, but it also makes things for us. Actually, you know, I could probably build a whole conversation that there's only two issues if it comes to female hormones. There's either too little or there's too much. But what if the hormone levels are too high? Then I would probably ask myself, well, is the liver doing its job or is it underperforming? And one of the roles of the liver is to help break down hormones. One of the hormones, called estriol, is probably, I think it's pretty cool. I hope I don't drift off into fantasy mode, but I'm thinking about my wife. But estriol is a hormone that just makes a woman's skin so silky soft and so luxurious that you're going, this is just not fair because my skin does not feel that way. No one ever walks up to me and starts caressing my triceps.
That's probably a good thing. But,
yeah, I'm thinking if I was in public and a hairy man was by me. I have a story, but I'm not going to tell it. But if you were to just a gently stroke and touch a baby's skin, I mean, isn't that like the softest?
Oh, it is.
I mean, it just feels perfect, doesn't it? I mean, who doesn't Absolutely. Like holding and touching babies? But
right.
your daughter's skin is supposed to be very, very soft and silky. So there is a hormone that she produces called estriol, and it has a lot to do with that. And I'm just kind of giving you a tie-in. But the liver plays a very important role in how those levels either rise or fall. So I'm just suggesting that her liver probably has a lot to do with estriol levels being just right, either too low or too high. Now, kind of cutting to the chase here, your liver is... can I just say it constantly is measuring and tasting and drinking and sensing everything in the blood to make sure if everything is just right. The liver is the organ that makes sure your blood is not too thick or not too thin. But your liver manufactures a substance called bile. So we know that the liver keeps her skin under complete total surveillance all the time. Now, the triceps area... I really want to say that relates to the liver and the gallbladder. Now, that's just my opinion. People can argue. That's fine by me. Don't make me know, never mind. But I always think if there's little bitty bumps, and I'm not trying to be gross or crude, but if you were to take your thumbnails and kind of press them together and push them, it would probably express kind of like a whitish or ivory, you know, substance. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that true with her?
I've never tried that, so I don't know. I will have to
well, is she, are
check
you,
with her.
Are you touching her arms right now?
Oh, she's not here with me right now.
Well, see, here's your excuse to go and be with her today, right?
Right.
For all I know, she's 1,000 miles away.
No, she's just a few miles from here.
Oh, well, what you're after is, I would suggest is if we go back, the liver manufactures a substance called bile. And bile does a lot of things for us. And one of the things that bile does is it helps keep your blood clean and it helps keep your bowels clean. I won't go into all the details because that would probably like wear people out. But if you have the bumps on the back of the arm, usually I'm thinking, is the gallbladder performing up to par or is it underperforming? And so usually, and now the reason why I'm saying this is the gallbladder is the one organ that its job is to release concentrated bile. And if it does a good job of that, usually you'll never see bumps on the back of the arms or on the top of the thighs, ever. So I'm not saying there's a problem, but I would say there's maybe an underfunctioning of the liver and the gallbladder. So it can relate to either that or the bowels. So how many rounds of antibiotics has your daughter had in her lifetime?
She has had many, 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 many.
So maybe we'll just take and run with it. So if there's an underperformance of the liver and the gallbladder coupled with maybe a little bit of an overgrowth, I'm just trying to be gentle here. I don't want to gross people out. If there's an overgrowth of toxic germs living in the bowels, that's where you start having toxic byproducts, and your body's just doing its job. It's trying to bind them and trap them, and that's why those little bitty bumps are. It's just the body's way. If the liver and the gallbladder aren't removing all of it, you're just going to have the overabundance be trapped in that area. And, of course, I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm almost positive that if we kind of pressed underneath them to kind of help push it out, it would be kind of a whitish, ivory-colored substance. Does that make sense?
It does.
So if she has that, you could try. And, of course, it doesn't matter if you're black or red or white or yellow or brown. I kind of think brown's a cool color. I saw an Italian person the other day, and they probably had the most beautiful skin I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And actually, there's a nail salon down in the strip center where I have my office, and these little Oriental children, they may have the most gorgeous, beautiful skin I've ever seen. And a lot of times after school, they'll come and play in front of my office on their little scooters. Guess what they do? They smile nonstop. I don't think I've ever seen them frown. Isn't there just something beautiful about children playing?
Oh, absolutely.
It just never gets old having kids laugh and smile in front of you. I just get so tickled by that stuff. So what we want to do is we want to find out, do we need to detoxify her body? Do we need to reseed her gut with beneficial microbes? That's probably one of the indications for taking probiotics. I read an article the other day that said if you have cancer, run and start taking probiotics now. And of course, I thought to myself, what if I turn that question around? Which I'm entitled to do that, right?
Sure.
What if I say to myself, if I don't want to develop a disease, maybe I should take probiotics to help head cancer off at the pass? And so her body is just trying to take care of the excess overflow waste by getting rid of it. It's just ending up as a little bit white filled bumps on her skin. Well, I call them white,
so,
but I'm sorry.
It wouldn't be unusual for her to have this then for years.
Well, if the problem's not corrected, yes.
Okay.
And so usually what I'll find is, and you're going to have to take what I'm saying just very loosely. I don't want to overthink it because I'm bad about that. She's eating a food that just doesn't agree with her, and it's keeping her liver from being strong.
Okay.
It's keeping her gallbladder weak. I don't know what that is, but I could guess. If I said sugar, would you be offended? I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, she doesn't eat a lot in the way of sweets. She doesn't eat sweets at all, but I also know that there's sugar in the foods that we eat.
Yeah,
so she's not going to sit down and eat a piece of cake or ice cream. She doesn't eat any of that.
Yeah, and you're being real clever right now. I like the way that you're thinking. Keep going.
So, anyway, but she does eat regular regular foods that we're used to eating, and there's sugar.
I don't want to be critical, but what if it's as simple as a healthy granola-based cereal or healthy bread or noodles or pasta or rice?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one thing, and I know that gallbladder surgeries are some of the most common surgical procedures that are done here in America. And part of it has to do with the doctor's opinions of it. They just don't think it does much of anything. It's just an accessory organ. You can take it anytime you want. But I think this fear of good, healthy fat, like avocados and olives and butter and coconut oil and olive oil and... Did I mention avocados yet?
I think so.
Okay, good. But we have a fear of all things that contain fat. So whether it's... I even think it's just nuts when a person removes an egg yolk from an egg and just has an egg white omelet. Of course, they're saying, Dr. Morgan does not know what he's talking about. I am the greatest athlete in the world. I know best. Yeah, but you're also injured all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't assimilate all those proteins and make high-quality collagen. You can go, that's not my fault. I'm a world-class bodybuilder, but I've torn my triceps muscles twice and Achilles, and I'm going, okay, well, If you stay on a low-fat diet, you're going to get a whole lot more of that, because without fat, the body breaks down very quickly. But what fat does is it helps the liver function better. See, her liver and gallbladder will do just about anything that she wants to make her skin completely gorgeous and beautiful and clear and clean if she feeds it the right things. And so the liver requires fat, and the gallbladder certainly requires fat. And this whole idea of having a low-fat diet, it's only going to be replaced with one thing. What does the food pyramid say? You need 12 servings of grains. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
12
wow.
servings of grains a day? You're just asking to develop diabetes. What do they want? Do they want people developing diabetes so they can put them on insulin and drugs and do surgeries? Wait, what did I just say? Never mind. Scratch that thought. That was kind of diabolical there. You know what, though? It does seem to me that's what they want. Now, I'm not trying to say that physicians are bad. They're not. They're great. They love people. They're service-minded. But this whole idea, if you sit in front of a diabetes counselor at the hospital and they say, now we want you to have 12 servings a day of bread products, I'm thinking, is it going to be impossible to reverse it? So I saw a black woman fairly recently that had these bumps all over her arms and legs.
Right.
And so you can't necessarily tell that they have whitish material inside of them, but you can just run your fingers over the back of the arms, and sometimes they occur on the top of the shoulders also, but they're mainly, if it's the liver and the gallbladder, it's going to be the triceps and the quadriceps. So, but they completely were gone in 3 weeks because she told me. Why wouldn't I believe her?
Wow.
So, but some of what I was after when I examined her, it was the gallbladder that tested as being malfunctional or weak.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's bumps on the back of the arms and the top of the thighs, I would say let's try to take care of the gallbladder. So some of the things you can do is you can get her to eat beets every day. You can have her take olive. The gentleman that just called a while ago, he said he consumes olive oil every morning. Boy, now olive oil. Now there is a healthy oil. I was reading the other day that a lot of the olive oils that we buy in the grocery store have been cut with other oils or diluted so they can make more profit. Well, that's not right. Especially, but the brand that I read, it said Bertolli.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Bertolli olive oil?
Actually, that's what I have. Is that good or bad?
That means you're a genius.
Oh, it just means that's what I happen to pick up.
No, well, you've made a very good choice, because it's always tested to be very pure and clean. And a lot of times people say it's just very smooth. It doesn't have a bite. It doesn't taste weird. So I think that's good to get Bertolli olive oil.
And do you own stock in Bertolli? No.
No, I don't. But what I have is I have stock in you. my stock in you says, I care that you are healthy and your children are healthy, so that's the only stock.
That's good. So,
yeah, don't you make good recommendations even if you don't get a financial gain from it? That may be un-American, but I like it that way.
Yes. So if she increases the beef eating, olive oil usage,
yeah,
but anything else that
well, the easy thing
can
is,
help her?
Well, just the easy thing is a trial of 2 weeks of just meat and vegetables. And, you
okay.
know, probably the most common thing that I see is if a person's adrenal glands are a little bit weaker than what we'd like them to be, they will just have a catastrophic failure when they try to go off all the grains and the starches and the fruits. So, just for a short period, it might be wise just to eat lots of salads and lots of vegetables and a fair amount of meat. And the thing of it is, I don't have to tell a person how much to eat or how little to eat. They can almost eat as much as they want. I don't think I've heard of a person overdosing on salad. Now, maybe if they have diverticulitis, right. It could be a problem. But outside of that, people don't walk in my office and go, Dr. Morgan, I've just overdosed on salad. I'm going, okay, where's the joke here? Where's the punch? it just doesn't happen.
Right. Okay, so have her change her diet in that way, at least experimentally for a couple of weeks.
Yes, and I think that I've seen a large number of cases where the number one food was just wheat.
Mm.
When it comes to those bumps on the back of the arm.
As in, and actually, that is, she is a huge bread eater, and breads, cereals. Mm-hmm.
I'm really not trying to say that wheat is bad, but it may be because of all the antibiotic use that it's altered her gut flora. And those gut flora, mm-hmm. in turn, may not be processing wheat or those proteins as well as they used to, which can be problematic. So then her immune system may start producing antibodies against it. But yeah, I'm kind of a radical. Those bumps mean that she's got some debris that the body's trying to get rid of.
Okay. So anything we can do to help speed the cleansing of her body, or purely based upon diet?
Well, no, there's just a ton of things you can do. And I don't have a magical way of examining your daughter over the radio.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's fine.
So beets that help increase bile flow. Olive oil is going to improve the functional capacity of your liver and your gallbladder. Avocados are fabulous. If she reduces grains and starches and carbohydrates and tries to focus more on vegetables and meat, I think that's going to be a detoxification in and of itself. I mentioned probiotics earlier. I just didn't. What I should have done is I should have said, specifically, this is how you speed this process up. And that would have been probably what you more wanted to hear, which is fine by me. But you can give her probiotics.
Okay.
You could give her dandelion tea. I think dandelion tea is one of the great remedies for the liver and the lymphatic system. She's just got lymphatic congestion. That's probably what I should have said. If the lymph system is backed up, you're going to have all those bumps on the back of the arm. I'm just trying to figure out where it's coming from. You see how I took a very simple topic and made it very complicated? I'm the master of that. I have a degree in complexity. No, but if you will, she could start drinking dandelion tea every day. I can tell you what I like. I love dry skin brushing.
Dry skin brushing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look it up.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me what you think.
I will check it out.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that, but I will check it.
Well, I mean, once you read about it, it'll take you, 3 minutes tops to read an article about it. You'll go, oh, okay, got it.
Okay.
Very, very easy. And that will greatly facilitate lymphatic drainage.
Huh.
Or you could go zip lining with your daughter today to increase lymphatic drainage. Which do you prefer? Hang gliding, zip lining, base jumping, or dry skin brushing?
Well, she would prefer zip lining. I'm not doing that.
You mean you value your legs on the ground and your feet?
Very highly, yes.
Well, thank you very much for your phone call. I wish you the very best.
Well, may I just ask you one more quick thing? Is there something I can do to lower the pressure in my eyes? It's quite high. I'm not taking glaucoma drops.
Yeah, I use a product called AC Carbamide from Standard Process. And just because of the time, and I want to give somebody else a chance, if you call me on the phone, I can tell you more of what to do. But I always think that I want to get the kidneys in better repair for glaucoma. But there's other simple things that you can give to the eyes, but I can tell you what to do if you call me.
Okay, super. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the... I forgot to tell you. Smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day is hard to reverse eye pressure. She didn't sound like a smoker. I'm just joking. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'll make it pretty quick. I hope you have a fine week.
Oh, thank you. This is your turn. You just take it on with it, buddy.
Well, I'm just gonna make it quick before the nice lady called beforehand. I just want to also say too that Memorial Day, even though our shopping and our family gatherings and cookouts are nothing wrong with them, but let's not forget about our men and women sweat their brow and gave their lives so we could have what we have and can do what we are able to do.
You know, I think that's well said. The guy that my little daughter and I ran into, his name is Bob. You know what he was in Corey? I think it was artillery.
Uh-huh.
Talk about a way. I don't think they gave those guys hearing protection. Are you kidding? If they fired those big cannons to lob around, you know, 4 miles away, it was probably like a ear-splitting concussion boom that just ruined their hearing.
Yeah. Doc, two other things real quick. I think you know something about Bartlesville, Oklahoma. Let's just call it about a week ago, probably about a month ago from Monday. There was about a softball-sized hail. I don't know if you heard about this or not.
No, I didn't.
A tornado on the ground coming in on them about 4 miles away. And I think the Lord decided that he wanted to keep all the farm animals on four legs. And I think they came out all right. And the last thing that I just wanted to ask you in regards to, like, our health food stores from, like, organic eggs. I found the carton that was set back further in the home than where I stay sometime. Yeah. Somebody had set aside. Do you think with a Best Buy April date and a latter April date that those organic eggs would be okay to snip on this morning?
You're making me nervous now. Because it's going to be things that are based on protein. They probably have the greatest chance to putrefy and to spoil, and you'll know it because the moment you eat them, you'll have some pretty foul smelling gas because something's putrefying inside of you. So that might be a little bit risky for me.
Okay. Don't.
Sorry, not trying to ruin your party.
No. But the smell test and all that, it would be more of the after effect.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And because it is an April date, you would be safe and sorry.
Well, I tell you what, if I was really hungry and there was no food, I would say, let's eat them. Thank you very much.
I got you.
But under these circumstances,
bless you,
I'm
going
to, thanks.
And I'm going to let you get on so you can help some more worthy people.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks for your blessing for our troops. Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Mm-mm-mm. It almost seems like the world has gone mad. We have one foot on a banana peel, the other foot on a grave. But then again, you know, I don't watch the news, so I'm a pretty positive person. I don't really focus on negativities. Good morning, and welcome to the program. How are you? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the program.
Thank you. First time calling in. I've been listening to you for a while now, and
glad to have you.
Learning a lot of good stuff.
Well,
thank you. Question from a couple of callers back. I am diabetic, type 1, insulin dependent for many, many years, and then you just blew a hole in my Splenda. What?
Well, you don't have to thank me. I'm just doing my job.
Yes. Well, thank you. What do you recommend?
Well, one thing you could do is you could try, if you could wrap your taste buds around Stevie and say, you know what, I'm going to learn to like this. Then we're
that
in business.
Would have to be the thing. I would have to learn to like it because I don't.
Well, I can tell you what I referred to is that Rosetta study. Uh-huh. And these people are drinking coffee every day, which is high in polyphenols, and they're consuming chocolate. Now, the chocolate that they're consuming is not like going to the store and getting a Snickers or a Milky Way.
Oh, yeah.
That's usually not the chocolate they're referring to when they say it has health-promoting benefits.
Yeah, no, that's usually dark chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. So let's just say you went to the store and you want... Do you drink coffee at all?
Yes.
What if you... I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. Well, what if you decide you're going to use some of that dark chocolate that didn't have all the sugar in it and add it to your coffee? You're just introducing more polyphenols. And what's happening is... You're completely changing how your body converts sugar into energy when you do that.
Okay.
But for me, if I recommend things to change the gut flora, I think I'm improving diabetes. One of my favorite herbs of all time. A guy brought by my office a list of like 10 herbs from a company saying all these are what we use to cure diabetes, and I thought to myself, how could they beat gymnema? I mean, there's an herb that comes from India called gymnema, and I'll just spell it for you.
Please.
G-Y-M, just like you're going to go to the gym.
Uh-huh.
And it's just one word, but the second part is NEMA, N-E-M-A. So G-Y-M, N-E-M-A. That's the spelling of it. But gymnema has got to be about the most successful herb of all time at lowering insulin and blood sugar. But it also has a tremendous rejuvenating quality, but I want to be radical for a second, if I may. What if your pancreas, 80% of the cells that produce insulin, what if they're gone, but you still have 20% remaining?
Right.
Okay, I don't have a way of proving that, but I assume that because if I give you Gymnema and you see your blood sugar improve, I'm going to go, well, maybe there's hope for this person. So,
yeah.
It's the same song and dance for every person. You want to make it easy on your body, so if we can train your body to convert fat into energy, your body does not require even one drop of insulin to process fat. But it does for carbohydrates, yeah. It does for protein, so I'm just a huge fan of high-fat diets, so I'm sorry, but for lunch today, you're going to have to eat a ribeye steak with asparagus and butter.
Oh.
I know. And for supper night, you're going to eat the rest of the ribeye steak because you couldn't eat it all, and you're going to have a big salad with onions and avocados and olive oil and olives and cheese all over it.
Yeah.
I know. And you're going to say, oh, my word, I hate this, but I'll do it because I love my body.
Yeah.
And I want to use it. But, yeah, if you avoid grains, it's just that. Over the last 27 years of doing this every single day, I haven't found a diabetic that eats wheat and grains and ever heals. Not even one.
Yeah.
Not one. Exercise, primary importance.
Yes.
Sometimes exercise is called invisible insulin because when you're exercising, you don't even need insulin to burn the sugar off. How about that?
Well, now, I've noticed when I work out, I'll test my sugar before and then I'll test it after. A lot of times it's higher after.
That means you have two, there's two parts to your nervous system. One's called the parasympathetic nervous system. That's going to dominate when you sleep at night, so deep, restorative sleep. But the sympathetic nervous system, sometimes that's called the fight or flight, but you got to have a little bit of both of them. But if when you exercise, it just means your body's producing way, way, way too much adrenaline. So what you're doing is you're exercising a bit too aggressively right now, and you're relying too heavily on carbohydrates and sugar as your main source of fuel, which means the body's going to break down. You're going to have aches and pains. You don't recover as fast as you like. You're not going to have as much energy. Anyway, the way to do this is just take a tape measure, wrap it around the largest part of your waist, then go around your hips the largest part. And with men, if that number is 0.9 or above, then we've got way too much sugar in the diet.
Okay, yeah.
And so your adrenaline levels are going up too high, which that's what adrenaline does. It increases your blood sugar. So if you exercise too aggressively, that's why you take the number 180 and you subtract your age from it.
Okay.
Does this sound intelligent? I'm trying to determine if it does right. But if you take your age and you subtract that from 180, so can I just say that... Let me think right now. You sound like you're about 21 years. What's your age?
I'm 48.
Okay, so can I just say 50 to round it off?
Yeah.
If I take 180, subtract it by 50, that means you never get above 130. Because any time that you get above 130, you're telling your body, you better start pumping out some adrenaline, buddy, because we're in crisis mode. We need more sugar. But you're not going to get real far doing that. That's why walking is a good activity, but you're... And it just takes literally a couple of weeks to train the body to get off all the sugar and to eat more fat and burn more fat. And the thing of it is, you win.
Yeah.
Do you know, have you ever heard of the American Heart Association diet for diabetes?
Yes.
It's a failure because it doesn't reverse it. I'm not trying to be negative, but it does nothing to get people off all the medications. I don't even know how many side effects those medications have. I can tell you this. I had a patient not that long ago ask their doctor, am I going to develop cancer if I take this drug you're giving me? And they go, no, that's impossible. That could never happen. And guess what? They developed pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
Because the patient looked up the side effects from the studies, and there was a greater proportion of people having pancreatic cancer that took Januvia. Whoops, did I say the drug? But it's just not even right. I want you to be radiant and have vitality and to be strong. And sometimes patients have to kind of just take the bull by the horns and take their health. Well, that's the only way you're going to be healthy is if you take full responsibility for your health.
Right.
Of course, I'm all for you asking your physician all the questions you want, like, how can I get off this medication? How many units of insulin are you taking every day?
I'm on the pump. I don't have any idea.
What were you taking before the pump?
I've been on the pump for... 13, 14 years now. I don't even remember that far back.
Well, I would say if we can keep, if we can get your insulin levels down below about 15, 10 units a day, then you're doing pretty good.
But okay, I bet you, I'm thinking it's in the 40 range, but yeah. I really don't remember right now.
But that's a lot better than 120.
Oh yeah.
And so if you'll do that little measurement as your homework, if it's if your waist to hip ratio is 0.9 or above, then that's proof to me that you're just living off carbohydrates and adrenaline. But you know, if a man had too much adrenaline, he's just going to toss and turn all night long. That's not you, is it?
Well, yes and no. I'm awake all night long because I work night shift, and toss and turn all day. But yes.
No, well, you knew what I meant.
But yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, relative. Well,
and because of that, and I've not been on this schedule for very long, I'm drinking large amounts of caffeine, diet soft drinks throughout the night, helping me stay awake.
Are we back to Splenda again?
Diet Dr. Pepper doesn't even, they're in the, what's the other one, sucralose, which...
Well, sucralose is Splenda.
Aspartame? Aspartame, yes, I'm sorry. Which I've heard all kind of bad stuff about aspartame.
Maybe you can go by the health food store and try those stevia-based soft drinks.
I saw an ad for those on a Texas Rangers ball game. They were in another stadium, and I saw... I think it's Zevia, I think is the name of it.
Yeah, let me guess. If you buy it at Ranger Stadium, that's going to be about, what, $35 for a small cup?
For 6 ounces, yeah.
Yeah, for
but
6 ounces.
They're in Brookshire stores. I think White House.
Well, look, hey.
I think White House lists them on their website.
If you want to improve yourself, no one can stop you. I think this is an awesome proposition. I want to see you the healthiest person I know. And you know what? The truth is, there is no reason why you can't live to 95 years of age. If you want to.
Yeah, I would like to.
What if your wife becomes pregnant when she's 90? Is her name Sarah?
No, but that's medically very unlikely from both sides, hers and mine both.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you. We won't have to go into anybody. I'm just going to trust you on that, okay?
I was told one time, don't use that word. Say you had a root canal or something. Don't use that word.
Oh boy.
But yes, well, let me get off and let somebody else on. But
well, thank you
very much.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you got in. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
I can tell that guy's got a good sense of humor. All right, if you want to join me, there's about, well, rats, look at it, time's gone just about. I think I have like, let me read this to you right here. To me, I find this interesting, and so you just, you know, let me know what you think about this. Let me get back to it here. A recent study from the University of Eastern Finland shows that a significant number of people with Alzheimer's began taking antidepressants prior to the onset of a disease, sometimes even years before. Let me just kind of make it shorter. For those who developed Alzheimer's disease, antidepressant use was more frequent as early as 9 years before their diagnosis than in a comparison group of those who were never diagnosed. This may be related to more frequent treatment of depressive symptoms because depression has been associated with an increased risk of Alzheimer's disease in previous studies. During the 13-year follow-up period, 42% of people with Alzheimer's and 22% of people not diagnosed with disease started taking antidepressants. They were most commonly prescribed selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Sometimes those are called SSRIs. I can't even thank all the men and women enough that have done everything they can to protect us from invasion, from being carried off into captivity. May God bless our armed forces and our military. May God bless our commander-in-chief. And it's been a pleasure being with you today. I look forward to being here, Lord willing, this time next week.